5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I am Brady Hull, host of The Whole Show. Yeah, right here, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Today is the very first day with my brand new producer, Angel. We are excited to get this thing cooking for you. Today is a huge, huge Thursday for the Denver Broncos and the Cleveland Browns tonight. Perfection. I'm ready for it. And we got the Nuggets last night that I want to get into. Nuggets beating up on the Phoenix Suns, 110-98. You've got a big game tonight, man. I mean, listen, we said the Raiders game was must win. Does this not feel like you're at the edge of a cliff for the Broncos organization? Or is this more or less a situation for Denver where new ownership's coming in? It doesn't matter what you do at this point. You might as well ride it out for better or for worse, because a new owner is going to come in here and more than likely reassess everything from the top to the bottom. Well, there's only one way to ensure that people are sticking around, and that's to win. That's to simply beat Cleveland Browns tonight, who are extremely shorthanded. You know, missing their stud running backs. Chubb being out is a huge deal for Cleveland, although Zach Stevens tells us yesterday that Cleveland's a lot like the Broncos, you know, all those years under Mike Shanahan, that they could plug in another running back and still be really good. Let's hope that's not the case tonight. Baker Mayfield is out. It is Case Keenum, the return of Case Keenum, looking to perhaps get at the Denver Broncos for moving on from him in the first place. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Go vote. Should the Broncos rest Teddy Bridgewater and start Drew Lock tonight? Should they rest Teddy, knowing he can barely get off of a podium yesterday, or was it the day before? And if you think he's the future of your season, and he can lead you to the playoffs and lead you to some wins, do you want to risk him getting hurt even worse? Or, you know, even if he doesn't get hurt worse, is he still, you know, 60%, 70% better than Drew Lock, who, from Vic Fangio, told us he lost a 50-50 competition. So go vote. 66% of the Hooligans are saying yes, the Broncos should rest Teddy Bridgewater and start Drew Lock instead. So go vote there at thewholeshow.com. Last night was fun. Little scary there for a moment. I think the Nuggets were down by like 16 at one point, or 15. It was starting to go south in that second. Joker goes off. He gets some really nice threes to make it a 7-point game at the half. Denver takes off from there. Defensively, look at that. They kept Phoenix under 100 points. I got a lot I want to break into. Here's Michael Malone, head coach for the Nuggets, talking about, hey, I'm happy. It was an overall great performance by the Nuggets last night.
I felt for three quarters we played at an extremely high level. That second quarter, obviously, was the quarter we all like to forget. But in that second half, to your point, not only did we hold them to 40 points, but only 35% from the field and 33 from three. The turnovers were an issue, obviously, but and then the fourth quarter defense. You know, I told our guys in the huddle, you know, our goal is to keep them under 20 points in the fourth quarter. That's where your defense has to be at its best. And we held them to 16 points. So, you know, to come in here to open the season against a very good basketball team, tough place to play, really, really proud of our guys.
Yeah, and it's two things. Obviously, that fourth quarter was great. You held Phoenix to 16 points. That's phenomenal. But what did the Nuggets have issues with last year coming out of the locker room? Third periods, they were always rough for Denver. I always say this, if you can score more than 25 and you can hold a team under 25, like, that should be your first goal as a team in the NBA. Well, they scored 24 in that third when they desperately needed to put the clamps on and get some scoring. Joker did it, man. Look at that, plus 28. On the floor. Like, that's the number. All of these starters, that's great. All amazing. Plus 22 for Gordon, plus 20 for Barton, plus 24 for MPJ, who I think looks like he's got a better head on his shoulders this year. Plus 28 for the Joker, plus 18 for Morris. I'm not even reading the stat sheet. But if you want to, you can go 27 points, two steals, three assists, and 13 rebounds for the Joker. Only two assists. Is that a concern? Is that because other guys aren't cutting, aren't moving around enough? But then you had Joker moving around and Porter's finding him. Look at Michael Porter Jr. with five assists, 15 points, and six boards. You know what I love about that? Angel, this is what we call the other stat. And that was my big concern with Jamal Murray. Is, okay, if you're going to be a scoring point guard, then I need you to score 30. Well, Jamal was scoring 19. Okay, can I live with that? He's not giving you the other stats. Malone wanted him to have six boards a game. And as a point guard, you should be getting more assists. These numbers right here, even though MPJ, 6 for 10, he only shot the ball 10 times. Is that a concern? Maybe. But he's very efficient. And what I liked about him, he wasn't trying to play hero ball. He looked different last night in a very, very good way. I still think the points are going to come. But he looked different. That dump off, Angel, to Joker, he's double-teamed at the top of the key, finds Joker cut. I think last year Porter shoots that. Instead, he fakes the shot, cuts down, wide open, Nikola Jokic. Here's the Joker talking about Michael Porter Jr.'s passing.
I think he actually, probably he would figure it out. If I have two guys with me, probably one guy is open.
I mean, it's, you know what? He ain't wrong. I mean, he's 100% right. If Porter's getting those double teams, which is what he will see when he starts scoring 20-plus points again, and they, listen, he played with Curry over the offseason. Porter's trying to perfect his game as a scorer, not a shooter. So, I mean, although that number doesn't blow anybody out of the water, it's an efficient game. It's a solid game. I want to see more shots from him for sure. But Joker was efficient. You know, 13 of 22, 1 for 6 from the three-point line. He hit a pretty key three-pointer, though, late in that half to kind of stop the bleeding, which allowed the Nuggets to go on and, you know, really take control in that second half. Here's the concern. All right, everything's fantastic, correct? They win. They beat the Western Conference champs. The MVP gets his numbers. We're all feeling good as a Nuggets fan base today. Yeah, there's a big fear. That second unit. You know, all the pluses we're talking about with the starting five, you're looking at the negatives here, and you've got Jeff Green, who thankfully decides to go off and hit three three-pointers. He had 13 points. You had P.J. Dozier with 10, but it felt like it was a spread-out 10. Austin Rivers, 2. He misses two threes in a row. He finally cuts to the basket, gets a nice little layup. Facu Campazzo did not look great. He had 4 assists. He was a little out of control. No points for him. Jamichael Green, it's very confusing if you're looking at the stat sheet. Jay Green, which Green is it? They're both power forwards. But you're gonna have to watch the games all season, right? Here comes the Comcast Dish Network text any minute. It was on ESPN last night, so no excuse. Jamichael Green had 2, minus 16. Jeff Green, though. Can you rely on that? Can you rely on him to be that guy? And you didn't see Bones Highland. We thought we would see Bones Highland at all. We didn't see him at all. Michael Malone, love the guy, hate the guy. He does not enjoy playing young players. He played Porter Jr. out of necessity. When Porter started to get playing time 2 seasons ago, but the bubble year, COVID year, that was because of injuries. And you had no choice. And from that point on, you saw how quickly he could score the basketball. So then you obviously went that route. So I'd like to see it, but when you win, it looks good. But that second unit, you have to find scoring. Where are you going to find scoring? I like how Michael Malone talked about in the postgame of how, hey, we're going to have to peel. What we're going to have to do is leave an MPJ or a Will Barton in a little bit longer in that rotation, or put them back in a little bit earlier than he would normally put in the starting unit. And that's all well and good, but you can't exhaust your stars. You got to be very careful with that. Bottom line is you need somebody in that second unit to step up. Angel, why don't we get the big story of the day presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Dunt, dunt, dunt. Isn't that big story music? It's just fantastic. This Angel, this one's, you can probably speak on this a little bit more. Your boy, where's he going? Where's Tua going, man? Tua Tagovailoa. Mike Kliss reported, no, the Broncos are not interested, or they're not going to be players in this. Everything I'm hearing is the Deshaun Watson mix here. How are we feeling? So Angel is a resident Dolphins fan and an Alabama fan and a UNC Bears fan. Very wide array of fandom for Angel.
Yeah.
Dolphins. What? Why the Dolphins?
Well, it's mostly because of Tua.
Yeah. So you're a recent Dolphins guy. Followed a Bama guy. Yeah. You latched on, which is very common. You're a diehard Bama guy.
Yeah.
Because you're
Bama guy. Grew up there, and with just in the past few years, there's so many Alabama players in the NFL. It's hard to pick one team, and rather than root for all 32, I'll just pick one. One guy that I like.
Two is your guy. Is so you guy. Jump in ship if he gets traded?
Probably.
Yeah? Well, so.
Which I hope not, because I already bought the jersey. I just got it like a few weeks ago.
Oh,
I'd rather not.
Dude,
buy another one.
The jersey curse.
It's the first jersey I ever bought.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm very interested to see what happens when you buy the second jersey.
Right?
Because I had the curse, man.
Well, I'm thinking about getting a Nuggets jersey tomorrow night.
Please get, like. Can you do like a Jamichael Green or something? Because if they trade him. At least that's whatever. Don't get a Joker jersey. If the curse is real, Angel, then be careful here. All I'm asking, you have a responsibility. If this curse is real, you have to treat it with the utmost importance.
Right. It's either right now. It's either going to be Porter or Bones. One of those two guys.
You got to see Bones in there, man.
I'd like to see Bones play tomorrow night.
I would like to see that. Okay, so Angel, you're going down to the game tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Spurs, correct?
The Spurs.
Man, I'm trying to do the Steve Adazio thing and just take it one game at a time. So I didn't even let my brain go there because we got a big game tonight. We got big games tomorrow night. We got big stuff Saturday. But yeah, that should be fun. Are you expecting a sellout tomorrow night?
I would hope so. You know, home opener, first time these guys have been back in Ball Arena since the 2004 disaster that was. But I was there for game three against the Suns back in June. It would just be nice to be back there, taking that sports environment.
So. Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a great environment for sure. I'm sure they'll greet the Joker in a cool way, the MVP night. You were at the game last year when they announced it to the crowd, weren't you? When they announced him as the MVP to the crowd?
Yes, they had announced the MVP like the week, like a few days before.
Yeah, but that was his first game back.
The game I went to was when they did the trophy presentation.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's
a cool moment.
Cool thing to be there.
18 minutes after the hour, Nuggets get the big win. How are we feeling about that one? Are we overly concerned about the second unit for this team, or do you think that that's something that will work itself out? I'm overly concerned right now. That doesn't mean I think the Nuggets are going to lose a lot of games. I think those starters are pretty damn good. 18 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's get into my poll question a little bit more. Drew Lock or Teddy, what would you do tonight? Should Vic Fangio make the safe bet, the safe call, and go with Drew Lock? We'll talk about that. Katie Wingy of Altitude TV will be joining us at the bottom of the hour as well to talk some more Denver Nuggets. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Don't go anywhere.
Tuning to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-three minutes after the hour, welcome back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service is the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. Let the Mosier family help you through such a difficult time. Services as unique as life. Their motto is simple, live well, but plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, 970-330-6824, or check them out online, mosierfuneralservice.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. If you guys want to get involved in the conversation, Broncos-Browns tonight, Thursday night special, coming up in the second hour. My, have things changed. Saturday night, the Broncos were 6-point dogs before they played the Raiders. I don't think it moved much. And then you start hearing the injuries. You start seeing what's going on with Chubb. You start seeing what's happening with Baker Mayfield. I mean, that was relatively big news yesterday, right? That was in our sport, in our NFL sports report. They had to change it midday because that news broke that Baker Mayfield was going to be out. The Browns did activate Jarvis Landry off the injured reserve, so he is set to return tonight. Who's throwing him the ball, though? I mean, Case Keenum, who certainly has had his moments. I mean, hell, what he did with the Vikings was good enough to earn him a pretty big paycheck that the Broncos went in on, which, again, another tough move by John Elway. But, yeah, you're without Baker Mayfield. You're without Nick Chubb. You're without Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt's on the injured reserve. So, I mean, the Browns have been absolutely decimated by injuries. And this is supposed to be a team that we thought was going to be a pretty good team this year. They've also had a very rough schedule. There are three losses so far. Well, to the Chiefs in week one, and that was a close game. And in fact, the Browns were ahead the entire game. They lost to the Chargers, which, save for last week against the Baltimore Ravens, the Chargers have been a pretty good team. Well, then you lose to the Cardinals. You get absolutely stomped, but the Cardinals, they're looking like perhaps the team to beat in the NFC. So Cleveland's trying to get it right here. You know, if you're a Cleveland fan, Case Keenum or no Case Keenum, you're optimistic right now because you're looking at the next four games and you're going, all right, home against Denver. Denver's kind of a crapshoot at this point. You're home against Pittsburgh, which maybe they're okay, but I don't think anybody's too high on the Steelers right now. And then you're at Cincinnati, which you got to feel good about that. You're at New England. You're home against Detroit before you play Baltimore. So if you're Cleveland, you're thinking your back on track starts tonight. You get back on track tonight. Same can be said for Denver. You know, with dropping a Raiders game like that, which I talked about it. I said, listen, I feel like the Broncos should win. I picked the Broncos to win. I picked them to cover. But I did caution you guys. I try to caution you guys. I said, this could very well be a Raiders game where they take off and they rally around each other. They rally around Derek Carr. And that's exactly what they did. Is that going to happen tonight with Cleveland? Is this team going to rally around Case Keenum? They desperately need a win, dropping to 3-4. It doesn't mean you're done, but that, with all the injuries piling up, you certainly are getting a little skeptical about what your season's going to look like, even though the schedule does ease up, like I said, for Cleveland. But they have a weird... Did you see this with Cleveland, Angel? They play Baltimore on November 28th. Then they have a bye week. Then they play Baltimore again. Have you seen that? Does that happen very often?
That's happened to me in Madden a couple times.
I'm playing Madden. You play them right, like, back-to-back.
Yeah.
For some reason.
At, like, all three or all six division games in back-to-back weeks.
This is like the Big Sky basketball schedule last year. I mean, is this right? I'm looking at ESPN, and it shows Sunday, November 28th at Baltimore, bye week. Sunday, December 12th, you're going up against Baltimore again. So you're getting a lot of time in between. Is that a mistake by ESPN? Wow. I've never seen that before.
No, with the amount of time it takes to get all the schedules figured out, you'd think that wouldn't happen.
You would think.
I think they'd have some kind of algorithm. You just plug it in a computer and it goes. But
so would you start Drew Lock tonight? Would you save Teddy Bridgewater? No. I mean, you saw him get off the podium the other day. He jumped off, but he landed on his right foot, and he's like limping away. He told the cameras to, jokingly said, shut your cameras off. Would you start Teddy tonight? Is hurt Teddy better than Drew Lock?
I would say you probably just start Teddy, and if it doesn't look good in the first couple drives, all right, put Drew in there and just see what you can do.
You know what that's going to do, though? Because Vic already has everybody, and we got to take a break here, but Vic has everybody on his case right now, and you're going to go, why'd you start him in the first place, Vic? It's another example. But I don't know. It's leaning toward, yeah, he's going to start him, because Vic pretty optimistic about that. Is it going to be a game-time decision? Keep our eyes on the Twitter box And hopefully we'll find out something before the show. We're going to talk to Katie Wingy of Altitude TV next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
They can't make things worse for me. Sometimes 34 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Nuggets get the big win over the Suns last night, 110-98. Joining us now to talk about that, Katie Wingy, reporter, host, and analyst for the Nuggets at Altitude TV. Katie, what a way to start the season.
Yeah, to say the least. I think knowing how the Nuggets ended last season and the way that Phoenix came in, swept them, beat them here in Denver, there was a bad taste in these players' mouths and this coaching staff's mouths. And so I think coming out and being able to beat the Suns on their home floor to start a new season is exactly the tone that you wanted to set.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. There was a moment, though, Katie, and that was in that second period there, where the Suns kind of started to roll. The Nuggets were turning it over. Nothing would fall. They find a way to kind of recover, make it, they kept their distance at halftime. And then the second half, where did that defense come from?
Well, it's interesting. I asked Will Barton that after the game, and I actually had this as one of my keys to the game coming into the matchup because it's something they've been talking about at practice over the past couple of days. And it's as simple as communicating better, like having a focus and an energy on the defensive side of the basketball, but also making sure that your teammates and yourself, you're all on the same page, you know the coverages. Your teammate can hear you saying that, you know, they've got your back. And so I think little things like that, making sure that you're all in a string, you're all rotating around, flying around, that's huge. The other big adjustment I think that was made at halftime was having Michael Porter Jr. and Will Barton stagger within that second unit, because that second unit really struggled to score in that second quarter that you mentioned, Brady. And so I think having a guy that's a go-to scorer that can provide just a little bit more offensive firepower in that second group, and obviously this is all the first game of the season, so very fluid in terms of rotation still, but I think that change in the second half made a big difference.
This the second unit thing is so interesting. Like you just said, it's game one and everybody's like, what are we gonna do? Thank goodness for Jeff Green. Are we gonna be staggering Porter? Is that what it's gonna look like with Barton too? And then you're hearing it, Katie, Bones Highland, a rookie. Everybody's like, why wasn't he in? Give us your thoughts on what you think. Like, is that a long-term plan as far as staggering those minutes with Barton and MPJ? Do you see Bones Highland getting some opportunity soon? And if so, I mean, is that going to be a quick fix? Is that going to be the fix? And again, it's kind of an unknown.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be a quick fix. I think that that's the kind of the cop-out easy answer to say, we'll just put in Bones. We know he can score. I don't think it's as simple as that, especially with a team that or a unit that was struggling to get stops too. It wasn't just the scoring. I do think that he'll get opportunities, though. I really do. I think Coach Malone spoke so highly of him. I, frankly, was shocked that he didn't get any minutes yesterday, to be honest. There was really no hints passed along the way over the past couple days that he wouldn't see the floor. I do. It's going to be matchup related. It's going to be flow of the game. It's going to be, you know, Facu Campazzo didn't have a great night last night. So now coming into this home game, will Coach maybe give Bones an opportunity if Facu isn't playing as well as Coach would like him to be? So I think that's going to be a little bit on a string. We'll see what happens. I do, however, think that he did this with Jamal Murray too when Jamal was healthy. He staggered him within that second unit, and he wanted to have either Murray or Jokic on the floor at all times. And I think he's probably going to start doing that. Again, this is the first game, so let's not come to any grand conclusions. But I think it makes sense to have Michael Porter Jr. or Will Barton in that second group, just so you know you have a guy that can score and can find his own shot and can get some things going offensively for that second group.
We're talking to Katie Wingy, host and analyst for the Nuggets at Altitude TV. Let's talk about Michael Porter Jr. 15 points, nothing to get too crazy about. But Katie, it seemed like a different head on his shoulders last night. He had the 5 assists, 6 boards. There were a lot of shots that he went up, and I thought, man, last year's Porter, he's taken that shot. Double cover, whatever. He doesn't care. He was looking for opportunities to pass. A beautiful assist to Joker down low. What did you see from Porter last night?
I absolutely loved his game. I thought it was the most all-around game that we've maybe seen from Michael Porter Jr. in a Denver Nuggets uniform. I think it speaks to his maturity. I think it speaks to his growth. I think it speaks to his, you know, adaptation of the role that he's going to have on this Nuggets team. There will be nights. I mean, don't think that you're going to see this Michael Porter Jr. for, you know, this entire season. There will be nights where he takes over and he finds his spots and he's open a lot more. But I thought it was really interesting. I think it was either Will Barton or Aaron Gordon last night that said they had talked to Mike about this. And what they mentioned, and Jokic has said this too, is that when he becomes more of a playmaker, his shot will actually open up a lot more because guys are going to have to treat him for the pass. He's going to be double teamed and they're going to want to get the ball out of his hands and then he's going to find somebody else open. Nikola Jokic last night after the game said that pass was when MPJ was double teamed and Jokic was wide open and he was like, no one was covering me. Which, how many times has Nikola Jokic ever said that? So I think treating himself as a playmaker and a creator, you see kind of he worked a little bit on his handles, I think, because he is able to come off that dribble. That's something that he's getting better at. We saw glimpses of really good things in the two-man game with him last night as well. So I just thought he looked confident and poised and composed, and I loved the way that he was making an impact all over the game.
Yeah, no question about it. It was cool to see that. Like I said, the 15 points, I mean, it is what it is. Those points explosions are going to happen, but those other stats and defensively just being in the right places, that's what we didn't see as much last year. So far, so good on that side. How about Aaron Gordon's block? I mean, is that thing still flying? I loved seeing the team just go nuts for that. That was an amazing play. It's one of those just exciting to see the team get involved like that watching it.
Yeah, Barton said that he thinks that Gordon can have more of those. Mm. It's one of those things where Aaron Gordon is such an athlete and he is really smart as a basketball player and as a person. And so I think he knows how to be in the right spot and he knows how to read the defense or read the offense on defense. And he credited Monte Morris. Like he said, that block was a two-man play. Like Monte was able to be in the right spot to put me in a position to rotate over where I could block that shot. And to be able to credit a teammate like that, but also read in NBA time, this is what's happening, and get up and block that shot, just a true act of athleticism for Gordon. And those are the defensive plays that those change games. And that's what he's capable of. And that's what, you know, the Nuggets really saw in him was the effort and the ability that he has on the defensive side of the ball. I thought his offense was really good last night, too. He was pretty solid. Him and MPJ put together a pretty efficient night, and those two are going to be key to the Nuggets' success without Jamal Murray.
Yeah, and I know there's a chemistry that continues to build between those guys. And just more on the defensive side, I just saw that a little bit more last night, that guys were flying out a bit more. Maybe last year, certain players, maybe MPJ, they don't even waste time flying out there. But for the most part, I saw a different mindset defensively, it seemed like, anyway.
Well, that fourth quarter in particular, too, they held the Phoenix Suns to 16 points.
Wow.
Like, that's unbelievable to think about a team like that with the offensive firepower that Phoenix has and the way that they were able to dissect and pretty much get whatever they wanted against the Nuggets in the playoffs not too long ago. For Denver to have a fourth quarter, and Coach Malone actually challenged the players in the huddle and had a 20 circled on his board and said, I want you to hold them to 20 or under this quarter. And they held them to 16. And just they took it to a new level. They focused in. They knew tendencies. There were very little breakdowns defensively. All guys, like I said, were on a string flying around. And they can step up when they know they need to. And that was a game where in that fourth quarter, they knew they had an opportunity to seal the deal against the team that booted them last season. And they took that personally. And I think that's why we saw the performance we did down the stretch.
Katie Wingy joining us, reporter, host, and analyst for the Nuggets at Altitude TV. I thought this was important, too. Chris Paul, I mean, oh my gosh, Katie, I got so tired of seeing him hit that little jumper in the playoffs last year. He just couldn't miss. You saw it a couple of times last night. And then, as you talked about, they made the adjustments. He ended his night with 15 points. I felt like when he made one or two, oh, here we go again. But what I was really, really pumped about was to see those adjustments specifically on Paul.
Yeah, they were definitely crowding those ball screens a little bit more and trying to force them outside of the paint. And they gave him a bunch of different looks. that was a point of emphasis coming into this game was, okay, they're so dominant, the Suns are, in the pick and roll. If you're, you know, down the floor, they're going to stop and shoot a three. If you're up the floor, they're going to shoot the mid-range and try and get around you. So they have so many weapons in that regard, and Chris Paul is the king of finding whatever's open. So I think the Nuggets giving him a bunch of different looks, keeping him on his toes, and then also just like the bigs being ready for that and being able to show on those screens and keep their feet and keep Chris Paul in front and you know, jamming those screens to make sure that they're as high as they can possibly be so he can't get downhill. Little things like that and those little adjustments, they made a really big difference. And I mentioned Facu Campazzo. Like, he might not have showed up on the score sheet, but there were multiple instances where Chris Paul was extremely frustrated because of how big of a pest Facu was being. And that's what he can bring to a game a lot of the time as well.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. He was on the defensive side of the ball. He can certainly get point guards or guards in general just kind of out of their element. Katie, tomorrow night, this one's going to be exciting at home in front of the Spurs. What do you expect that crowd to be like? You know, getting everybody going to start the season. We got the full 82-game season. You know, you got your MVP coming back to Ball Arena. What do you think that atmosphere is going to be like?
I think it's going to be crazy. It always is at Ball Arena. Nuggets Nation always shows out, and especially the first game of the season, the first home game of the season. So we'll introduce the whole team again, all the coaches, and have all the lights and all the show on full display. So I'm really excited to see kind of what the game presentation crew has in store at Ball Arena to get the fans excited, but I also know the fans are just excited in general. I think over the past couple of years, we've seen this city latch onto this team in a way that hasn't happened in a while. And the team and the players and Coach Malone and the coaching staff, they're so likable and they have such great personalities. And the style of basketball they play, I think, is so fun to watch that you're getting some casual NBA fans as well that are showing up and being like, this is worth the price of admission. Like, I want to show up on a consistent basis and see what these Denver Nuggets are made of. And so when you put a good product together and you build it, you know, step by step, like this Denver Nuggets franchise has, I think the fan base feels this connection to it and feels like they've been a part of it. And that loyalty is loud. We'll hear that at Ball Arena.
Well, and I love it. I love to see it continue to grow. Last one for you, Katie. Jamal Murray, I know you were posting some stuff, some videos. He's dunking the ball. Where are we at in his process? Yeah. Are we ahead of the game at all, or is that too tough to tell at this point?
It's too tough to tell. And, I mean, Jamal Murray is Jamal Murray. Like, he's a warrior. He's a competitor. He has his mindset is just so advanced and above, I think, just the average human. And so he looks really good. I've gotten to see him kind of in practices and shoot-arounds. He's doing some lateral movements now, too, which that's pretty typical. I think I tore my ACL as well, so I kind of have a good idea of what the skeleton is like from a rehabilitation standpoint. Like, you start on the crutches, then you have, like, one crutch, and then you're walking, and then you're running in a straight line, and then you're able to jump a little bit more just straight up and down, and then you start to work in some of those lateral movements right around the six-month mark. So I think we're right on track in terms of what I've known an ACL rehab to be like. But I've been telling everybody this. Everybody keeps asking, well, when do you think he's going to be back? Jamal Murray will come back when Jamal Murray is ready to come back. And I don't think that's going to be until he's at like 110%. Because what you're seeing physically from him, his mind might not match. He might be ahead of the game from a physical standpoint in terms of his physical therapy. But trusting your knee again and not having to think about it during the game when you're playing at, you know, the most competitive level and the most physical level, that's a whole nother battle in itself. And so what we see isn't the full picture.
Yeah.
What I do love, though, I'll mention this as well, is the Nuggets have done such a phenomenal job of keeping him engaged. He actually had the personnel scout for the first preseason game against the Clippers. So he's going to do that periodically throughout the season where he'll be in charge of watching film and giving the KYP, the knowing your personnel for the other team, and making sure that his guys know the game plan in terms of defending tendencies and that sort of thing. So it was funny. Coach Malone was telling the story at practice, and in that Clipper game, he took so much more ownership of when his teammates got beat because he'd be like, I told y'all he was going left. And so he watches with a different eye now. And I think even in huddles, like, I'm seeing him go and talk to assistant coaches and watch like clips and film in the huddle and see what the other teams are doing and give his input or see what the coach sees. And so he's very engaged. Obviously, he's like one of the best teammates ever. And so he's always hyping guys up. And it's great to see him around the Nuggets. And it's great to see him working both on and off the floor.
Yeah, I think that is awesome, seeing that he's, you know, scouting out the teams, doing that kind of thing. But again, it just speaks to what you told us about this team, about the chemistry that's there throughout the entire roster. Katie, love Altitude. Love what you guys do. What time do you guys get rolling tomorrow night?
I think it's a 7 p.m. tip, so we'll have 6:30 pregame.
All right, we're looking forward to it.
TV.
You guys rock.
Yeah, thank you so much.
No, we appreciate you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll look forward to getting you back on the show soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Brady. Have a good day.
All right, Katie Wingy, reporter, host, analyst for the Nuggets at Altitude TV. Holyoke texting in. Love what Bones brings to the table. Dribble, drive game. But based on what we saw last night, how does he get minutes? I love Faku's defense. Rivers, as far as a second unit, we're going to have to rely on three-point efficiency. Overall, our biggest weakness will be finishing at the rim. And Bones may be maybe the answer to that. Also, Wingy over Demps. You go Wingy over Demps? They're both fantastic, man. I love what Altitude has done over the years as far as upgrading their product. Those two have been such a huge part of that product. Holyoke says, defending without fouling is also clutch. Did you see a difference in the game call, i.e. Crowder, three-point flops? Yeah, and I saw it the other night, too, or the night before that, was in the Warriors-Laker game, too. I love the fact that we've cleaned that up in the NBA. It's the most obvious change to any sport you could make, and the NBA finally made it. 50 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We're going to wrap up hour number one. If you miss any portion of the show, interviews with Katie Wingy. We got the Thursday night special coming up. Angels' first Thursday night special. Nervous time at the Forum. You can always go back and listen to the podcast. TheWholeShow.com, 1310KFK.com, or wherever you download podcasts. Just search out The Whole Show. You'll find us. We'll be right back.
If you want Nuggets insight, then you want The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
You're going to have to get used to that, Angel. I break out the air guitar. When you bring me good stuff, I break out the air guitar.
We're already there.
We're already there. I mean, we're already there. It's fantastic. Day one, how you feeling? Feeling good?
A little nervous.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like bazillions of people are listening from all over the world.
Oh,
we have
no
listeners in China.
Just the Hooligans.
The Hooligans are everywhere, Angel. I mean, they are everywhere. In fact, I'm told George Carl is converted to become a Hooligan, so that's what I'm told. Little birdie tells me.
Feels like I got my preseason done. Now we're in game one. Let's get it going.
So, yeah, you're not Bones Highland, though. You had a good preseason.
No, I'm not Bones Highland.
And they're not playing. We decided not to play it. No, we're playing you tonight. So you're getting in. You're getting action. And you're heading down to see the Nuggets tomorrow night, man. I mean, that's...
I'm excited.
It's going to be great. I told you, you know, you can't go as a fan. You got to work. I mean, that's...
I guess.
You can't have a beer. Or maybe you should. I don't know.
You're in a hot dog. That's my usual go-to.
I'm excited.
Two hot dogs.
Two beers. I love hot dogs at a freaking stadium, man. That's the way to do it. Yeah, it's great to have Angel on board. He'll be with us most of the week, most of the days here throughout the week. He's still going to UNC. We're going to have Michael filling in, too, in a couple of days a week, but it's going to be fantastic. Looking forward to it. When we come back, we've got a lot to get to. How about the basketball? Let's talk a little college basketball when we come back. Colorado State, UNC, also more on the Denver Nuggets. More on the Denver Broncos tonight going up against Cleveland. Are you done? Have you given up? Do you have any hope? Is there some belief left in you? We'll talk about it next. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.